This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades. Now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Welcome to the Love Story Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Green, where we are capturing the magic of every love story.
Well, thank you guys for coming, Copeland. We have the Copeland couple sitting here on the love couch. Yes. I'll let you guys introduce yourself so I don't take the spotlight away from you.
Well, I'm Carol Copeland.
Perfect.
So that's who I am.
And I'm John.
John. Okay. Perfect. So, Copeland, this is the Love Story Podcast. You guys are together. How long have you been together for?
I knew you'd ask that. So we just were talking about it over there because he's the one that remembers dates and everything. So I think it's coming up on 47 years.
Wow. Okay. When's your anniversary?
December 29th.
December 29th. Okay. Yes. Why did you choose to get married at the end of December? What was the reason for that?
Well, we had met 2 years before that, and then we were dating, and I had come home for the summer before that. I was down there teaching, and when I got back, he can tell the story about how he didn't think he was looking forward to it. Then, wazoo, there I was.
Okay.
So, you want to tell the story?
During the summer of 1978.
Okay.
Were you even born then?
No. No, that was 10 years before I was born.
Okay. Neither were our children either.
Okay, yeah. All right, yes. Okay, yes.
But Carol was invited to come back home to go on an Alaskan cruise with her family. Oh. And so I knew I'd had the summer to myself. Mm. And so a dear friend of ours, friend of my parents actually, set me up with another woman that summer.
Okay.
She wanted me to maybe date somebody else.
So when did you guys officially start? When did you start dating before the summer of 78?
July 31st of 1977 was the day we met.
So you met, how did you guys meet?
I moved down there to Texas to teach. I had gone for Montessori training, so I was a Montessori teacher.
Okay.
So I moved down there, I guess late July, I guess it was here. He knows the dates, but I knew it was in the summer. And went down there with my good girlfriend, Carol. So we two drove down there with all my stuff. We're going to Southeast Texas.
Okay.
And so went by a college campus on the way to the town we were going to, which is about 20 miles down. And saw, well, let's go back there. There's a restaurant there, looks like, look, or maybe a bar or dance hall. I don't know. It was called The Keg. Okay. It's like, let's go back to The Keg. And it was maybe at that point already 9 o'clock at night. And
okay.
We'd been driving from Minnesota, tired as all get out.
Going
and it's like,
Texas.
Okay, let's go back there. So we went into the restaurant there, sat and ate. And then there was a dance hall there.
Hmm.
Proceeded to go into the dance hall, and then it must have been, oh gosh, then must have been 11.
Yeah.
You know, and we had been up for hours and days, whatever.
Yeah, something you can do when you're younger.
He asked me to dance.
Ooh, okay. So
yes.
You saw this woman across the room, and you were like, that babe.
You said it.
Yeah, that's
you
the one
the
I want to dance
out of my
with.
Mouth. Yes.
He was there with his friend Bart, and I was there with my friend Carol. And if Bart would have asked me to dance, I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know either.
Okay.
Bart's really good looking, I'll tell you.
He's taller.
It would have been bad news for me.
But I had wanted to move to Texas. I could go anywhere in the world because I had an international teaching license
okay.
for Montessori. I could go anywhere in the world. So I had gone down to Texas for spring breaks. Corpus Christi and South Padre.
So, John, are you from Texas?
Okay. He's from Texas.
Okay, got it.
And
sure.
I felt the nudge to go there.
Okay.
You know, I figure Texas is kind of like a whole different country, so.
Yes, yes, definitely.
Everything's big and, you know, it's all that stuff.
Yep.
So I prayed about it and I said, God, I'd really like you to have me meet a rancher or an oilman. So I will move to Texas.
Yeah.
And this is what I'd like to do.
Yep.
And then I'd like you to facilitate that. When he asked me to dance, he is an oilman. He was an oilman. He worked for Texaco in the oil field.
Well, what does Bart do?
Bart was still in college at the time.
He wouldn't have qualified anyway.
No,
so
he
would have asked you to dance, you'd have been like, I'm sorry, good looking Bart. It's not going to happen for us. You're not an oil man and you're not a rancher.
That's how it all began.
Wow.
Which was exciting.
So you manifested exactly what you wanted. You you prayed on it and God said, here is John. So do you use that, you know, listen, I'm God's gift to you, baby. So...
Well, one of the songs that was sung in our own wedding was a duet sang by the two of us to each other, with each other. And it's called God Made Thee Mine. Always is the name of the song.
But, yeah.
But the theme of the song is God Made Thee Mine.
Okay.
And so that was a very special song for us. It was actually sung at our parents' wedding as well many years before.
Oh, wow.
So we enjoyed the story, the words behind the song. So we sang it to each other.
We enjoyed the words. I sang the words of the third verse because he could not make it through it.
Yep.
He got very emotional.
She sang, I cried.
Yeah.
Being I have studied acting and that type of thing, I just kept on focusing.
You had to pull together.
Focus.
Yep. The crowd is here. They're
somebody's
got to
say the words.
Yep.
I guess it's me.
Yep. Okay, so to follow the timeline, you and your friend moved down to Texas. You said, God, please bring me an oil man. And he's like, fine, here you go. He sees you across the dance hall. I want to dance with that babe. You guys start dancing. He checks off the box. Oil man, check. Okay, can dance. Icing on the cake.
Not very well.
Can't dance.
No.
Okay.
No.
He really only has...
I can ask somebody to dance, but it doesn't mean
he really has one move, and it's still the same.
Okay.
Today, we don't go dancing for that reason. Love you.
I like to dance, I just can't.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I like to sing, I just can't. But yeah, it doesn't stop me. Okay, so you meet, you dance, and then this is back in 77, so it's not like you guys just found each other on social media.
No,
so how did you stay connected?
Well, he lived in Beaumont, I lived in Port Arthur, like it's what, 20 miles apart, 20, 15. 30 miles, whatever. Mm. Gosh, I would need things. I would like, oh, there's like one time there was a snake in my toilet.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And like I open the lid, it's like, ah.
Oh, no.
Close the lid, John.
Yeah.
Help.
Uh-huh. You're the only man I know down
here. And then
he'd
be like, okay, I'm going to go stand outside until you get here. And then we could never find it. I think
it was gone,
but it was horrible.
That is horrible.
And then another time, a guy was trying to get into my apartment, and I also called him. So it was these things that kept bringing us together. In fact, I guess I kept bringing us back together.
Uh-huh.
And he asked me out, and we dated, and we'd go out a couple times a week, I guess it was.
You know, that off and on kind of relationship did continue until she left the next summer for 3 months.
So
but the story she alluded to earlier was, knew she was coming back in August because school's going to open. She's got to run the preschool again. And so I happened to be, I didn't know when, I just knew sometime. So I was in my apartment, sitting on the couch, watching TV or reading or whatever, and the window, the drapes were open out into the courtyard. And I sensed somebody walking by the window towards my front door. And as I glanced and looked, I wasn't looking at you. I was looking at her walking by the window.
Yeah.
And when she knocked on the door, I could not move. I was just like frozen. And stunned because I knew that it was over. It was done. It was like stick a fork in me.
Yeah.
Because I'm done.
Yeah.
And the whole relationship changed.
Okay.
So even though, you know, Mrs. Brown wanted me to date her school teacher friend in the summer when Carol was gone.
Yeah.
That didn't work at all.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really date very much anyway. But when she came back, you know, in the middle of August, it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she's
now
the
what
one.
Are you gonna do, Copeland? You're in trouble. This is like real business.
Yeah.
So, and then it just flowed from there. And
sure. Yeah. At what point did you, so that's when John realized that you were the one. When did you realize that you were like, this is my man?
Well, I kind of figured this was the one, being I asked for it and I
exactly.
got what I
exactly.
asked for. And I hadn't met anybody else that was filled the bill.
Nobody else fit.
I tried to go to a couple ranches, but there's nobody. Yoo-hoo. Like, here I am. I'm looking for a rancher. Where are you? It didn't really work.
No,
I guess it was meant to be. And yeah. It really, like in any relationship, there's been a lot of good. There's been a few struggles. And, you know, I think God knew what he was doing when he put us together. We're different in many ways, but mm-hmm. we have a lot of similarities too. He was in plays. I was drama major. We both sing. We both, you know, just have, we like talking with people and you know, different things like that. So,
yeah.
And he's
kinda like
an
you,
engineer.
We like playing in dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like dealing with plants and flowers.
He's an engineer. My mind doesn't work that way.
Right.
My mind is more creative and that mm-hmm. type of thing. So, you know, it works. We balance each other well, I think.
Yeah. So you met in 77. You started officially dating in 78. Or did you get married in 78?
Yes, both.
Okay.
At the very end of 78.
Okay,
yeah.
So you came back and John was like, I got to put a ring on this baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
And then you got married at the end of December.
Yeah.
Okay. And you sang your song to each other and
sang
everything.
Sang her song. Went on our honeymoon in New Orleans.
Okay.
So
fun.
We flew up here to get married. Okay. And so it had snowed. And then, you know, what happens in winter after it snows, it can get very cold, which
yes.
it did. And so a few of his, well, his immediate family
mm-hmm. yes,
is basically all that came up.
And Bart.
Oh, yeah,
and Bart. Okay.
Oh, yeah, and
okay.
Bart. And then, of course, my family and friends. So it was a smallish wedding, but it was that night it had gotten to, or the next day anyway, it was a snowstorm, and then it got to 20 below.
Mm-hmm.
His parents didn't have winter clothes, so they brought their windbreakers.
Oh, yeah. No, that won't do it.
So they said, we are never coming back here uh-huh. again in winter.
Yeah.
They have been here in summer, but not in winter.
Oh, wow.
And so then my parents, after we left then and flew back down to Texas and then drove over to New Orleans, then they took his parents, George and Lottie, to Mille Lacs Lake because they'd never driven on ice before.
Sure. Yeah, you have to do
so
all the fun
they went to
December
drive
stuff.
On the lake. And the story is that then they went out to eat. And they asked his mom, Lottie, what she wanted to drink. And, well, I believe I'm going to have an iced tea. And uh-huh. they said, iced tea?
Yeah.
In the middle of winter?
Well, she is texting to her
Did
core.
You brew some today? And they said, hot tea?
Yeah.
I guess is yeah. what it was. So, you know, but John grew up in Texas, so he does like that sun brewed tea.
Yes.
So, you know, I learned how to make that. It wasn't too hard, or he made it, or I made it, or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, they never came back in the winter again.
No. Yeah. But you guys live here, so you managed to get the oil man Texan to come. You duped him into Minnesota.
After 11 years.
Okay, so you lived down in Texas teaching
so
at the Montessori.
So we got married. We had our four kids down there, and when our youngest was 8 months old, we moved up here.
Okay.
And so I said, you know, as we had more and more children, it's like, you know, we like to go visit his family, like to go visit my family. His family did live in Texas, but they lived 400 miles to the south.
Sure.
Texas is big, right? And then my family was, what, 1,200 miles to the north.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, maybe we could just find somewhere that doesn't have long winters, doesn't have perpetual summer with big mosquitoes, even though it's 45.
Mm-hmm.
So let's find something in between. So you go ahead and tell a little bit more now.
So I started looking for work in 1987.
Okay.
And we actually came here for Easter week mm-hmm. that in 1987. And so I took that opportunity to interview with some different companies while I was here. One of them was at that time the Champion International Paper Company.
Okay.
In Sartell. And so I interviewed with their engineering manager, and Bob told me, well, Yeah, it seems like you have the qualifications, but when we hire somebody for engineering staff, we either hire from within and promote, or we hire somebody straight out of school.
Okay.
Because we don't want to retrain somebody that already knows how to do engineering in a different field. But I'll put you on, I'll put your resume on file, and if I ever need you, I'll call you. So I figured that was like, you know, it wasn't a Dear John story because I never got it. I never got into a relationship. Could have been. And in July, I received a phone call in Port Arthur from somebody with Champion International Corporation, Bob Barr again, and he said that their engineering staff was very short and they needed somebody really, really bad and they couldn't find anybody without hiring from the outside. Would I like to come and interview?
Okay.
So, sure enough, I started in the middle of August working for the paper mill in Sartell.
Okay.
That's not an oil company.
Right.
But, you know, when I was asked, how are you going to transition from a petroleum engineer career to a mechanical engineer career in the paper industry, my answer was, well, a pipe is a pipe and a valve is a valve and a pump is a pump. It doesn't matter what you're trying to move or control, it's all the same. It's all mechanical engineering.
Yes.
And so that seemed fit the bill of what they needed. We moved up here in the first week of August in 1988. I put Carol and the four kids on the plane at Jefferson County Airport. And then I went back home and got the fancy china and the silver and put it in the station wagon with the dog.
Yeah.
Cha-cha.
And,
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Oh.
And I drove from Port Arthur, Texas to Sauk Rapids, Minnesota.
Okay, all by yourself?
Me and Cha-Cha.
Yep, you and Cha-Cha. Okay.
Cha-Cha. And then when we moved up here, even down there, I had started doing some running, and I would take Cha-Cha on runs with me, and of course they have legs about that long and ears about that. The poor thing.
Poor Cha-Cha.
But she seemed to like it, but not, you know, for long periods of time, and as I got longer in my run, she didn't like it so much.
I feel like Cha-Cha and I would have been great running pals together. That's about all I can do.
We lived on a boulevard, I guess you would say, and then there was a school. The public school was in the middle, and then the boulevards kind of went out like that. And so I started by running around the school, and I couldn't even get around halfway one time.
Yeah.
The first time. And then more and more. So I'm sure she was like, and we got to be friends with the janitor. He would sit outside and he'd be like, wow, look at you go. And, you know, they all have an accent. And John can have a southern accent, but you've probably never heard it.
No.
Okay.
There was quite an outsider's syndrome at the paper mill. Yeah. Paper mill in Sartell was generally, if you worked there, that probably meant that you were related to somebody else that worked there.
Yep.
Because it was fathers and brothers and uncles and grandpas. And when somebody came from the outside, if you will, especially from another state, there was the feeling that somebody's job was taken away by an outsider. Uh-huh. And I can even remember a day where I introduced myself to somebody as John Copeland and stuck out my hand to shake because that's normal for me. And he just kept his hands in his pockets and gave me his last name in form of introduction. And it's like, wow, that's strange. So I learned then that I needed to learn how to talk Minnesotan. I didn't need to talk like I was from Texas anymore.
Yeah.
Because it didn't fit. And so I did. So I just I went back to my thespian days and just taught myself how to say boat yeah. instead of boat.
You know, I don't hear the difference.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, I never thought that I talked differently. You know, I thought that the way that we talk in Minnesota is the right way to talk, okay? But then when I moved to Texas, it's like, what? Oh, what is that R stuff and that long vowel stuff you're saying? And I'm like, I don't know. It's just the way that everybody should talk. I don't know. What are you doing the draw and stuff? It's like, I don't know what you're even saying.
But after 11 years, did you pick up a little bit of an accent?
I think a little. I think a little. I think, you know, if you'd live in Fargo, you might talk a little differently.
Yes.
My sister lives in Des Moines. She talks a little differently. So I probably, you know, talk a little bit, but I, you know, who knows?
I am highly susceptible to picking up. I will pick up that contagion, whatever it is. So I went and visited Texas for a weekend and just driving back, just kind of joking, went into a little gas station. There was a sweet little boy named Garrett, and he was just talking. He's like, oh, I got a pan for you, and whatever. And just kind of casually, like, joking around, like, repeating back the things that he would say as, like, got back in the car and driving back up here and repeating back, just ha, 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 kind of joking. And then you got kind of stuck in it, and I was like, I can't stop talking like this. We got to get back to Minnesota because I am stuck talking like this.
Couldn't really shake it.
So, yeah, it's highly susceptible. It wouldn't take 11 years. It would take me 11 days, and I would be fully immersed in Texan twang.
So yeah, he, like,
Carol could tell that it was still in the back of my brain when the phone would ring and I would answer the phone. She would know immediately that I was talking to my father.
Sure.
Not because she could hear his voice.
Yes.
But how my voice changed.
Yes.
She said, you know, I would go back 30 years and just pick up those same colloquialisms that I used to say that he still says.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, you're talking to your dad, aren't you? Yeah, sure enough.
Or
yes, I am.
It's just, they just talk slower.
Uh-huh.
And they drawl it out, you know? And it's just like,
get to the point.
Okay, go. And I don't think talking real fast is good either, but I think that Minnesota talks just the right speed.
I think so too.
I think we got the right speed going on. So yeah, so we had our four kids and I stayed at home with the kids and John then was working and going to school. So we didn't see him much.
Yeah.
So I was at home with the kids and so we had three kids, and after the third one, he was done with school finally, and so then graduated, and then, okay, now I'm going to go back to work. I'm going to go back to work. So when our youngest was 2.5, I took on a preschool position, worked there for a year, and then found out here comes number 4.
Oh.
And I'm like, you know, back then you found out by going to the doctor. You didn't have a test at home. So I know when they called, I'm like, I sat down and I'm like, I just went back to work. And now I'm going to, okay, well, it's everything's good and fine and everything. But I think that then it's like, okay, now I'm home again. I'm with the kids again. I'm not launching, you know, my career again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, yeah, something needs to change. And like I said, the bugs are bad in Texas.
Yeah.
The bugs are bad here in the summer, but the bugs are bad there all year round. Okay.
Yeah.
So the mosquitoes here can be quite big, but I don't know, Texas, they're giant. They're just like giant.
Well, they've got an extra 6 months to build and grow.
And they're there all year round. Mm. And so when it's 45 or 50, they're still there. We had roaches, not the yucky kind of roaches. I mean, they're yucky anyway, but they're the wood roaches. And
okay.
So we had pecan trees. Uh-huh. We did have pecans. So, you know, that was a great harvest in the fall and everything. That was wonderful.
Is it pecan or is it pecan?
Yes.
Okay.
I say pecan. What do you say?
I've always said pecan.
Pecan? Yeah. Okay.
Our oldest son says pecan.
Okay.
But I think he does it just as a joke.
Yeah, I think that's
a
joke.
But yeah, in my family, it was pecans.
Yeah, pecans, okay.
So anyway, these big wood roaches, and we lived in an old house, and the ceiling was, what, the styrofoam?
The styrofoam tile.
Styrofoam, and I would be up with the kids nursing the baby, and I'm not going to put the lights on. I'm just going to go to the rocker, and then it would be like, put the lights on, like,
ooh, yeah.
They were, so it's like, you know, they didn't do anything to you, but they were big and they were gross and I don't like bugs. So
yeah.
bugs bothered me, being away from both of our families. We had neighbor friends, we had church friends, but still, it was just, there was just something that, something had to change. So we moved back up here. And then when we moved here, John did the thing where he, you know, had to get used to the climate because he's not used to it. So tell them about your experience.
Welcome to Green Thumb Etc., home of custom furniture, upholstery, designer floral, and exclusive giftware. Do you need to find a gift for that crazy aunt that has everything? You'll find it at Green Thumb. Do you have grandma's old chair that nobody wants anymore, but you just don't have a heart to throw away? I can upholster it for you. Or do you need flowers for someone to say, I'm sorry, or to say, I love you? You can find that here too. Come on down to the corner of 7th and St. Germain in downtown St. Cloud, and you can shop to your weirdo heart's content. Find us online at greenthumbetc.com, Facebook or Instagram at greenthumbetc. At this point, you're already familiar with the way the Love Story podcast operates. However, there are some stories that can't be told on the Love Story that need to be told after dark. So we started Love Story After Dark, a podcast that you can get bonus content on Patreon. There's all sorts of bonus content that you can find on Patreon, audio, video, special swag, all kinds of stuff. So if you're looking at just wanting to get the audio of the Love Story After Dark, that's $5 a month. If you want to get audio and video, $10 a month. If you want to be a part of the sticker club and get exclusive sticker swag, that's $25 a month. And for $50 a month, you can get the elite bonus merch. However, you don't have to pay any money to just get exclusive clips from any of our After Dark episodes. Get yourself added to the email list so you can get notifications for when new content drops for the Love Story podcast After Dark.
Well, I had never lived north of Houston, Texas.
Sure.
So 50 degrees was cold to me.
Yeah.
Just like Carol mentioned about our parents that came here that did not have winter wear.
Yeah.
Well, that was the case for all six of the Copelands.
Okay.
We had to start shopping a few months after living here to prepare for the winter.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not just me buying winter outerwear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's John and Carol and Natalie and Ross and Lauren and Benjamin. And we kind of became on a first name basis with the salespeople at JCPenney's.
Yeah.
I said, oh my gosh, here's the Copelands again. Oh boy.
Yep.
And so we bought a lot of winter wear to prepare.
Well, it's 9 months of the year.
Most interesting comments that I remember about the first fall was walking down the sidewalk with our oldest son, Ross, going to, I was walking with him to school that day, and it had started to snow, and the snow was starting to build up against the grass on the edge of the sidewalk, you know, and so it was only, you know, this much snow. It was just, there's dusting. Yeah. And Ross was all excited. Dad, it's snowing! And I was like, but Ross, you haven't seen anything yet. It's only just beginning. But our kids taught us about winter by becoming winter athletes. Both of our boys were hockey players. Mm-hmm. Our younger daughter was a competitive figure skater. So we learned how to spend winter days.
Yes.
In an ice rink somewhere.
Yes, to do it in a fun way.
Yeah. So, and we did that for a while.
At the end, it wasn't so much fun because it was years and years and years and years and years. It was, I have gone back to see a couple hockey games, but it just was so much that I was cold for so long.
Oh, yes. I don't like being cold. Yeah. So that, no, that doesn't sound like fun.
But he put his windbreaker coat on. This is the story I was getting at. He put that coat on mid-September. I don't think he ever took, he just kept on adding layer after layer.
Well, anybody that's old enough listening to us would understand what a members-only jacket is.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That brand's not made anymore, but it was very popular back in the 70s and 80s. And that was my outerwear, the windbreaker she's referring to.
So
it was just a very, very light jacket.
Yeah.
And of course, by the middle of October, you need something more.
Yeah, throw something else on.
So.
The kids, were they excited to move to Minnesota, or was it like, did they have to get on board with it?
I think they were excited.
I mean,
Ben was only 8 months old, so I don't know how he
felt. Yeah, probably neutral.
He just went along with everything, basically, as a child. He went to this activity and that activity. It was probably the hardest on Natalie because she was going into third grade. And in Texas, you wore a dress. The girls wore dresses.
Okay.
You didn't wear pants that much. So it was mainly dresses, and it was more ruffly kind of dresses. And so that's what she came, you know, to Minnesota with. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, well, let's just put on some cable tights with that.
Yeah.
Yes. Not a great look, but then for gym class, the teacher finally, you know, pulled me aside and she said, Carol, you know, we do like somersaults and, you know, that stuff. And that dress just is, you know, ruffles is just, and then the, this getting in the way. And then Natalie did have an accent. And so she had a hard time adjusting because people had a hard time accepting her.
Yeah.
Because of how she looked, because of how she talked. And I think it was a couple hard years there, but then one girl in her class befriended her, and then everybody, one by one, became friends with her too. So it really only just takes one person to smile or include you or be nice to you so that the others see, why do we want to keep this up? And then she had a lot of great friends and really enjoyed it. But I think the first couple of years were hard on her. But I think it, you know, was hardest on her.
Well, and it is like, truly, it takes one person to kind of change everybody else, but it takes one person to change Natalie. Like, little Natalie, I'm sure, became an entirely different person when you've got someone who is, like, finally saying, you know what, I accept you.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of, you flourish. So
Right. Exactly. Mm. She, of all of the kids, is like, oh, I wonder what my life would have been like if we would have stayed in Texas and lived in Texas. It's like, well, we all have that.
Yeah.
We all, you know, what if I would have done this? What if I would have met Bart, you know, Bart? And
yeah, if Bart would have been the one.
I'm like, oh, ew, really? But no, thank you. But but maybe, I mean, I don't know. Hey, if he would have fit the bill, then I guess it would have been, I guess this is it.
Yep. You're Mrs. Bart now.
I don't know. No, I don't think so.
Are you guys still friends with, like, the woman that you went down to Texas with and Bart? Are you guys all still friends?
Carol, I am friends with her. Life has taken us on different paths, and so we don't see each other very often, but we have still some of the same friends, so yes. And then Bart, a little bit. Not that much.
Well, you're Facebook friends with them, I believe, but other than that, no, it's just too far away.
Yeah. I suppose if he's still down in Texas. No,
it's really almost like a whole different life that we had back then.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it was so long ago. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
Decades.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what did you say, 43 years?
I think 47, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, 40.
Yeah, it'll be 47 in December, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're really marriage, getting up there. Right?
And most of them have been here, you know, 37 of them almost. Yeah,
right.
So, yeah.
Are your parents still alive? Do you still have,
None of them.
No.
How was that over the course of your life? Was that kind of the experiencing the loss of that kind of stuff? Was that trying, or was it just like, yep, this is all part of life?
Well, for me, it wasn't that drastic of a change, because when I left McAllen to join the service 6 weeks out of high school, and really only went back and lived there for 10 months after my time in the service, and then I left and I virtually never came back. And ever since then, since 1977, I've lived a really long way from there. I didn't see my parents very much after I was 21 years old. Talked on the phone back and forth, but we weren't physically together. So my brother and sister still live in the same town that her parents lived in. So they were all real close. So that there was still an emotional loss when they died, but it wasn't probably as serious as when Carol's parents passed away.
So, you know, if we would have kept on living in Texas, I wouldn't have had the role that I had in my parents either, you know. I moved the furthest away of any of us kids. There were five of us growing up, and I moved the furthest away. And then, like Mom said, you moved back, and you moved back in our backyard, basically, because we lived two blocks away. So we really, you know, when we were moving back, it was a quick move back. So we lived with them for a while. And so we were looking at homes in St. Cloud and Sartell. I think we went out to St. Joe maybe and that type of thing. But this was 36 years ago. And then we got in the car of the realtor after we had looked at several homes, and he basically started the car and stopped the car. He said, okay, well, here we are. I'm like, well, here we are. There's no for sale sign here. And he's like, well, this one, you know, could become available. And we went in, and it had the four bedrooms we were looking for, you know, the kids, and the boys would be together, and then each girl would have her own, and John and I. Then when we got to the back of the house, there was the deal sealer, because there was a purple bathroom, so a lavender bathroom. And I'm my birthstone is amethyst, and I love lavender. I love purple. And so that was it. And still to this day, it is still lavender. I'm like, this is our house, right?
The one that was kind of maybe not on the market.
So then we were very close to my parents, and my parents, John is very handy, fixer-upper type of guy. So he was over there doing that quite often. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, they got a computer, and my dad would try to go on the computer and mess that all up.
So everyone just get was, on the John, there's a snake in the toilet. John, I crashed the computer.
So then John would go over there and do that. You know, Mom and I would do things together. We worked in dead gardens and stuff together. And so we became very close to them. And so when the time did come for them to go into assisted living, that was a very difficult process. And so we're taking a lesson from that, and that we need to make sure we have our things kind of lined up before we start losing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you get combative about it.
Yeah.
And I've heard this from a lot of people, that their parents get combative well, I probably will too when you take the keys away.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, this is such a big change. But that was a difficult transition for them and hard to do. So for me, and I think for you too, when you lose one parent, it is very, very sad and very hard. But when you lose that second parent, you kind of feel kind of like, oh, now I'm...
You're an orphan.
The oldest one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the one, you know, to lead the way.
Yeah.
And so it puts a lot of responsibility on you. And I think you felt that too, right?
Yeah, because my dad and I were really close, even though we didn't, you know, spend time together for after I was 21. But still, that was a great loss for me. My mom too. I mean, the funny story to me about the day that I got the call from my brother that our mom had passed away. I was at work. At the time I worked for the VA, and in the room with my engineer buddy, who was my office mate, I had an appointment with an architect that day that was coming from out of town to meet me. Just before he got to the door to knock on the door to say, hey, I'm here to meet with you, my phone rang, and it was my brother. And I'm listening to him, and he says, you need to get a grip, because I need to tell you that our mom just passed away. And I'm sitting there at my desk, and I just broke up, and I'm crying on the phone, very emotional. And Bill is sitting behind me. We're still friends today. And he was probably wondering, what's with Copeland?
Well, yeah.
He knew that I was rather an emotional guy. Yes. He didn't know that this guy was coming to meet with me that day.
Sure.
But here I am bawling at my desk because our mom passed away, and this guy's knocking on the door. And Bill, unbeknownst to me, got up and just took the guy by the shoulder and said, let's go for a walk.
Yeah.
Leave John Berg to himself for a while.
That was nice.
So, you know, so that was a very emotional situation for me. But I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I didn't have that kind of close relationship like Carol did. I didn't live two blocks from my parents.
Yeah.
So I didn't get to know them through my adult life. Mm. And to realize that it's done, I won't have the opportunity anymore. It was a lot of finality to that situation. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, it's different.
I think that's the thing when you experience a loss. I've been fortunate to not have had a lot of loss in my life until my grandma passed away a couple of years ago. And it really is that even now, like my sisters and I will be talking and it'll be like, oh, you just kind of wonder, when we were kids, it was always call grandma, she'll help you with the math problem. Call grandma, she knows the definition of this word or whatever. She was our Google. And then after she passed away, it was like, even the stories that you forgot to ask about her, that it was like, how did that go? You know, or where was she born? You realize all of the things that you didn't even think to ask these people. So it is very much that, like, I didn't take an opportunity to get to know my parents in a way that I maybe wish I would have. And, you know, how do you really prepare for that? You just kind of don't. You just take a bump on the chin and keep going.
Isn't that true that we don't really, I mean, I know I didn't either. I didn't really get to know much about my grandparents. I loved them and they loved me and we had fun together. But I really wish that I would have, you know, I had my two grandmas. One was a giggler. She laughed a lot. That was my mom's. So we get kind of our jokes and things from our grandma, Natalie. But Grandma Pauline was more of a serious kind of grandma. But my favorite picture ever is me as a 4-year-old, and I'm sitting in between my two grandmas. And I wish that I, you know, would have gotten to know them a little bit more. But my Grandma Pauline, this was when I was in high school, and I was very involved in all kinds of things in high school, sports and drama and choir and band and everything imaginable. And my dad said, "Carol, I need you to go and live with Grandma Pauline." I'm like, this is okay. Not on my radar and not something I'm willing to do. It's like, why would I go a mile away from this house and live there and go to high school? I'm like, No. And I just told that to my sisters a couple months ago, and they're like, "What?" And I'm like, this is something that they did prior to, you know, my generation, like 100 years before, something's not something from then. And I said, no, I will not do that. But I wish I would have gotten to know her. She was, from what I understand, she was the first woman to go to the University of Minnesota Ag School.
Oh, wow.
So she grew up in North Dakota, and her dad passed away. They owned a farm there. And then her mom married another guy, and he owned a farm, so she was the only child. She ended up owning two wonderful, very fertile, very wonderful farms in North Dakota. Wow. So she was very much a businesswoman.
Yeah.
So she went to ag school from North Dakota, went to Minnesota Ag School. So she was the first one, and it was really neat because both of our grandsons that are old enough to go to college go to the University of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So we were down there, and we're meeting with one in the Minneapolis campus, and then we took the other one back to his campus, which is St. Paul, which is where my grandma was. That's the ag school area. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is where my grandma was. But they're really far apart. We didn't realize they're really far apart, like 25 miles apart or something. Oh. And so Aaron has to take a shuttle over to school in Minneapolis. But anyway, it's just really, you know, no, I didn't talk about that with her when she was alive. It wasn't something that, you know, it was more like, how are you doing, Carol? How was school? And, you know, and, you know, helping with your homework or, you know, whatever it is. It's not, tell me a little bit about you, Grandma.
Yeah. And she's got so much more to talk about, you know, than little Carol has anything to say. What are you going to say?
That's why I liked sitting on Sunday. We would always get together with Mom's parents on Sunday, and they would come over, and there was always a big chicken dinner, you know, that type of thing. But then they would sit in the kitchen, actually, and they would talk German. So they were talking in German. And so it was my Grandpa Pete, my Grandma Natalie, my mom, and then sometimes Dad was there, but he was busy doing many things, so he wasn't usually there. But I really enjoyed, from what I could understand of it anyway, I just enjoyed sitting, listening to adults talking, because I thought, I don't know why I was interested, but I just was interested. Yeah. I didn't have to say anything. I just enjoyed, especially if they were talking some English, so I knew what they were talking about. But I always enjoyed that, so yeah.
That's so fun. Yeah. So as you guys kind of integrated your lives together and everything, and you transitioned into, you know, living in Minnesota and being Minnesotans and then never having left, do you think about, your kids are all grown and gone and out of the house, do you think about, like, maybe you'll leave Minnesota, or is this it for you guys?
This is it.
Okay.
Yeah, because I was asked something very similar to your question when the first 5, 10, 15, 20 years I moved here. Because everybody assumed that I needed to go back to Texas.
Yeah.
And so the pat question would be, what do you miss most about Texas? And my pat answer to that question was, at that time, this was in the late 80s, it was real seafood, fresh seafood.
Oh, yes.
That's true.
And real Mexican food. Yeah, because in the late 80s and early 90s in St. Cloud, you couldn't get fresh seafood or real Mexican food.
Yeah.
You can today.
Yeah.
But that was what I missed, and my job, because I loved working.
He loved oil.
With petroleum.
Yeah.
He loved oil.
That's what you asked for.
He loved oil. Was,
you know, I know that God put that resource in the earth, and he intended for us to use it generations later. And I was part of that. I got to help bring that stuff up out of the ground, and it was refined, or it was natural gas already, and it was used by the public to make the world go round. So it was a really fulfilling career to me. Mm-hmm. So that was probably the hardest thing about leaving Texas, mm-hmm. was telling my boss, I'm giving you my 2 weeks notice and I'm not going to work for you anymore. Mm-hmm. Granted, I loved the work I did after I came up here for a different reason, but it was just working with a natural resource like that was a very fulfilling career.
Yeah.
We travel quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so we are be on the beach places. Yes. We're going there. So we kind of manage the one in Puerto Vallarta there. So we end up going there a couple, 2-3 times a year. So we travel there and we're going on a cruise this fall. So John is having a big semi-retirement. He's semi-retiring. And, you know, I do cabbie. And so that's semi-retired also. Mm-hmm. We both are kind of going to be semi-retired. And he also has a big milestone birthday coming up. We wanted to go on a river cruise, in your European river cruise, for our 25th anniversary. Well, let's see, now we're on our 47th, right? Mm-hmm. So we're going for our 47th instead. And so, you know, just in church this morning, there was an announcement of somebody fell and, you know, broke their hip. Granted, they're in their 90s, still living at home, pretty awesome. But we've know from many people that we've talked to, you know, the traveling years, well, both in our early 70s, got to go when you can go, because mm-hmm. at some point, something's going to happen and one of you won't be able to travel. Yep. So we plan on doing a lot of traveling. We probably travel 4 to 6 times a year.
Well,
so we stay in Minnesota, but we get out of it every once in a while.
Yep. Yep, definitely.
Not in the summer, though. We try not to go in the summer. We've done that before. We're still both singing, and we sing for a church choir. We sing for a new chorale that started the collective in Sauk Rapids. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's called the Music Collective.
Sauk Rapids Rice Area Musicians Collective.
Musicians Collective. So we sing in that. We've been doing that for a year. We just had a concert last week, and we love that. We sing with a choir. We sing with a small group. And so, I mean, we're semi-retired, but we're busy.
Oh, yeah, you're active people.
We're out that door every morning at 8 o'clock going to this and that and the other, and then mm-hmm. we're going to things in the evening. So there's not a lot of dust settling under our feet for sure. But for me, and I think John would also probably feel the same way, it's funner this way.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just you get to do what you kind of want to do. And just kind of have fun. You're not going somewhere, sitting at an office, you know, being there all day long from 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. It's just different. It's just a lot more fun. And with 4 kids, they were in all kinds of activities, and it was a lot of fun. But it got to, you know, you really, well, you have kids, you know, those are the activities that you tend to do, is because you kind of have to and you want to, and you want to go to all of them and you want to be there with them and things. But, and then your friends are their parents of their friends. But now we get to choose kind of
how you want to spend your time.
And it's okay. I mean, every part of your life. I'm a real proponent for live for today. Today is a day that you have. Remember yesterday and plan for the future. But if you're continually living in the past or continually living in the future, what about today?
Yeah, you're missing out. A lot.
Mm-hmm. You're missing out. So I enjoyed all the different times in my life. You know, not everything was fun, you know, but, you know, it was usually, you know, good.
Yeah.
So.
You guys probably have no idea, but we're over our 45 minutes.
Oh,
look
wow.
Look how fast this went.
Wow.
It really, I was also, when Abby flashed the 45 minutes, I was like, what? It really feels like you're just sitting here talking to two best friends.
Oh,
and
awesome.
I think the thing about your relationship, that to be together for 47 years, it's very much like, how do you do 47 years together? Look at you guys. You're two best friends. You can just tell that you're best friends and that you've just gone through life together, and it feels like it. Aww. It genuinely feels like you're just talking to two people who genuinely care about each other, genuinely love each other, and are genuinely just friends at the core.
Aww,
and it's, there, nothing felt forced here about this. I didn't feel like there was anything, there was nothing awkward, there was nothing weird between you. You two are just, you're just best friends.
Thank you for saying that.
That takes me back to a Saturday evening, probably 12 or 15 years ago. It's long enough ago to where we just finished watching a DVD movie. And so I remember taking the DVD out of the DVD player, and Carol's sitting behind me in her chair, and I had been sitting in my chair, and I heard her say, "Did you ever think we could have this much fun together?" And it was one of those moments that I just had to be honest. And I said, I'm not being mean, but I have to say no. Because there were times before that that Carol already referred to that maybe weren't the best of times.
Mm-hmm.
And would I have thought 15 years before that, that we would be who we are together
mm-hmm.
today? And I wouldn't have thought that. But I got to realize that we are that. And so I appreciate the fact that you see that. Because
yeah.
to us, sometimes, I don't know that we see it that
right.
much. We just do
it. Just old hat.
You just live it. And,
right.
you know, some people, you know, they're just not meant to be. You just didn't find yeah. the person. And you made a commitment to somebody that you just... It really wasn't the right thing to do, or
yeah,
your paths just kind of deviated so dramatically.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's okay. And also mm-hmm. sometimes it's also on the other hand of it where it's like, what are we really fighting about here? What is the friction that we're feeling mm-hmm. here? Is this a friction because I don't like you as a person, or is this a friction because life is hard right now? And if it's just because life is hard right now, you'll get to the point where you're just sitting in two separate chairs watching a DVD and just laughing and having a great time and being truly best friends.
I think a lot of times, you know, when you have, you know, kids too, you just don't have time to get to know each other. Then once, you know, they're older, you can get to know each other, and sometimes you find out things that put you apart further.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's other things like, you know, fun together, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I actually like you.
Right. I think that's what happened with us.
Well, what a delightful story. I'm glad that you guys have 47 years of figuring out how to like each other and choose each other. And thank you for coming on here. I appreciate
thank
you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Love Story Podcast. You can subscribe to the show, and you can follow us at the Love Story Podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Do you think you have a love story for the ages? Do you think you have a love story that's like a meet cute? Or maybe you just have a regular old love story, but you guys have been together for so long that you don't even remember how you met? We would love to have you on the Love Story Podcast to tell your story. Every love story is unique. Every love story is special. And whether you think you've got a cool story, a funny story, or just a heartwarming story, or just a story of the everyday, regular old love, that's the kind of stuff we want to hear. Reach out at info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, and we will schedule a time to get you featured on the Love Couch. If you're not local, we have the capabilities of doing it digitally as well. So don't forget to reach out, info@lovestoryweddingshow.com, or head to the show notes.